Our reading this day comes to us from the Gospel of Luke, and this is in the first chapter, and the focus is on Mary. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you." She was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren, for nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. If you'll permit me, I just want to read just a touch more out of Luke. It was the angel, you remember, said, "All things are possible with God. Your cousin Elizabeth, she is with child as well, and was said to be barren." The next part is about when Mary and Elizabeth come together, and I just want to read that. We have sung about the Magnificat, and we have, as a congregation in our call to worship, also recited parts of that, which is what follows this interaction with Elizabeth. But this is that interaction, and I just want to add this today. "In those days, Mary sat out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, 'Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord.'" So that's what directly follows Gabriel's visit to Mary, is this interaction then with her cousin Elizabeth. This is a time of year where I can come up here and sing, "It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas." It's the only time we all pray for snow. And when we wake up and look like this, we all go, "Ah, the world is right. This is how it's supposed to be." Come January 1st, we will all curse the snow and wish it away. But right now, we're really enjoying it. And it really does set the scene well for us. It helps us to feel ready for what will take place tonight and into tomorrow. We've been focusing through Advent, and we didn't cancel Christmas as much as that was a threat last week as part of our Christmas pageant to cancel Christmas. We've been focusing on what we need to do to be ready for this time, and I'm sure all of you have had lists that you've checked twice to try to make to be ready as well, the Christmas cards and Christmas cooking and Christmas traveling and all of those things that you've probably ticked off your list, and yet there's still probably so much that there is left still to do. But we've tried to remind ourselves here in our worship that we first need to make right. We need to make things right in our lives. And then we need to make way. We need to pave the way. I made sure to try to speak to my engineers here in the congregation to get the terminology right for paving the way for God, but we need to make sure that there is an open avenue for us to get to God and for God to get to us. Then we didn't cancel Christmas, and this way, with Christmas still on, we look at making room. Making room. Let's take a moment and pray. Lord God, may the meditations of my heart and mind and the words of my mouth be acceptable in your sight. May we hear your word afresh, and may it inspire us anew. In Christ's name, amen. This is the last time we'll be gathering together before this evening on the hallowed eve of Christmas. For many of us, our remaining preparations have become less about the possibility of incarnation, that God is coming to dwell with us and in us, instead being displaced now by indigestion. As we pile on our to-do lists, we add a roll of Rolaids. We pop some Pepcid. We mouth some Maalox. We treat ourselves to a few Tums. And actually, if we're speaking in today's terminology, we might even have stepped up beyond those to some Zantac or Tagament or Prilosec, which can work to treat the chronic indigestion that mysteriously erupts at this time of year. I searched and searched for statistics to chart the sales for these relief methods according to the time of the year, to see if there was a correlation between holidays and heartburn. I couldn't find any. But I have to believe that it is the case with our overindulgence in the sumptuous buffet of goodies that begins at Thanksgiving, but also the general anxiety that also starts at the same time. Aren't we lucky that Elizabeth didn't pass off what was happening in her body as indigestion, but knew something miraculous, something amazing was going to take place? Is this not, and why I read on a little bit, what we should ourselves be considering? That perhaps in and amongst our daily, ordinary lives, the miraculous is or has been taking place, or will take place. Or do we just pass it off as indigestion? Oh, that's just the stress of the holidays. Now, wouldn't Mary, if anyone, have had the right to be just a little bit stressed out and suffering from some indigestion? She is unmarried. She is pregnant. She is likely 13. She's seen an angel, I don't know how normal that is for you, who's telling her about a child that she's going to give birth to. But do we find her complaining of indigestion in reflection of the incarnation? Instead, we find her preparing as best as she can with trust and faith and obedience to see and to follow, to make right, to make way, and to make room. Do we have the trust, the faith, the obedience? Have we made right in our minds, made way to our lives, and made room in our hearts? We are asked in these final moments not to hand ourselves over to holiday indigestion, but to make room for the incarnation, for the mystery of God with us. This is to seek and make room for our lives and souls to become a magnifier of God's glory, as Mary's was, not only by virtue of being Jesus' mother, but by virtue of her faith. This is to gather on Christmas Eve around sacred story and familiar song, and to find and know God present with us, to worship in our lives, with our lives, and through our lives, having made room there to make right, to make way, to make room. Now, for this, it means we'll need to spend less. Maybe that's a message coming a little too late. But to spend less time on the whims and impulses, to those areas and arenas that cause us such great distress and indigestion. To spend less on one another, not only to return the holiday to more of its historic and holy center, to celebrate the one whose birth it marks, but also to preserve our own center in this time. To spend less in those ways that cut us down, that make us unhealthy. To spend less knowing full well that the miracle of it all is how much more we get when we make right and make way and make room. To spend less and yet discover the presence of God which we had failed to notice or see in the simple gathering of family and friend and fellowship. The deep expression of love toward one another. The commitment of oneself in care and nurture to one another. To spend less and yet to get more. To make right, to make way, to make room through giving more. Is this not Mary's ultimate expression to us? To give more of ourselves, not through the outlay of money or number of gifts, but the gift of ourselves. To give without thought of return. To give the best we have to offer, our time, our friendship, our love, our talents, ourselves. To give more of ourselves away and find that we discover more of our true selves, more room when we do that. To give more in simple ways, a smile, a hug, a word of encouragement, an invitation to worship. To live not in chronic indigestion, but into the incarnation. God is with us, and so we are the way we become the expressions of God's grace. This is miraculous stuff. Can you imagine if we all did this? To give more as God did first for us and giving God's self completely, and which we still experience in bread and cup and through the water of grace. To love all, understanding that Christ came once for all. Christ came to feed his flock, not to give them indigestion. Came as one of peace. Came as the embodiment of God's will, to love all. This is God's will for all creation. And it is possible if we stop thinking that love is expressed in what is wrapped up and put under the tree and start instead saying it and doing it and living it instead of trying to buy it and package it. Amazing things are possible. Miraculous things are possible. We pray and pray and pray for peace to prevail, for the balance of justice to rule. If we'd only realize that the miracle of God's peace, the possibility of justice, and the prevalence of love lives pregnant in each one of us awaiting birth. It's not indigestion. It's the incarnation. And this is how God works in us and in others. In the midst of the everyday, the interactions and experiences. It's there that earth and heaven intersect in the miraculous when we become partners in the gospel. In the ordinary, when we make right, when we make room, when we make way. Can this be? Don't you think that's exactly what Mary was asking, what she did ask? How can this be? She was a simple young woman. Her life was empty, nothing special. And so much of our days and weeks and lives can feel empty, empty of anything sacred or special or divine, and yet full and overflowing of so much more. If we have eyes to see and ears to hear and a heart to listen and lives with room, we'll find God present in all of life and the miracle of God breaking through the mundane and ordinary and everyday, especially in the mundane and ordinary and everyday, not indigestion, but the incarnation. The miracle of those many years ago is answered again for us in our lives with the miracle of God's continued presence and activity in our history. In our lives. Advent is the time when we seek out, when we prepare, when we pray for the blessing of God's presence. Mary is an encouragement to us to understand what it is we are praying and asking for. It is not an approval of our plans or our lives as they are or as we wish them to be, but to make room and asking for God to be at our center, to dwell in us, and to change our lives and to take the ordinary and make it sacred, make it miraculous, to take our indigestion and convert it to incarnation. So I pray tonight when we gather by candlelight, you'll come ready. You'll come ready having made right as best you can. Having made way, if you need some engineering help, I can point out a couple of engineers for you. And most of all, making room. Come ready tonight not for more indigestion, but for God's incarnation in your life. Come ready for a miracle. A miracle of hearing angels on high singing about a little town called Bethlehem where joy to the world has come, giving us the possibility to sleep in heavenly peace. Let us pray. Gracious God, we have heard your message to make right, to make way, and to make room. We have listened to your word about ordinary lives that were made extraordinary. But we struggle to understand that possibility for ourselves. We can do all the Advent work, but to believe that the mundane can be transformed, a moment in time can change history, how? When you enter in, when you forgive our sin, and allow us to begin again. When having made right and made way and made room, we repeat the words of Mary, "May it be to me as you say." That is how you work, O Lord. You choose the very least and raise us up to greatness, for nothing is impossible with you. You take the weak, the poor, and blind and raise us out of darkness, for nothing is impossible with you. And so we give you thanks for your love, which endures forever. Teach us obedience, Lord, in every part of our lives and through all the seasons of the year. Give us ears to hear your word, hands to do your work, feet to walk your path, a heart for all your people, a mouth to shout your praise. Let it be with us as you say, granting us a childlike faith of humility, of confidence that says yes to the possible and the impossible. I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said, having made right, made way, and made room. O come, Emmanuel, God with us. Amen.